If you would turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 39, in your Bibles with me tonight. If you need a Bible, we have them behind the pews there. Feel free to grab one of those. Just make sure you get the Bible, not the hymn book. The Bibles are black. The hymn books, I think, are burgundy. But help yourself there, and then find your place in Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Again, want to welcome our live stream, those that could not make it tonight but were able to view live stream. Thank you for being faithful, and we trust that maybe you'll share the service tonight, maybe to be an encouragement to somebody, and we'd love to be a blessing any way we could. Again, I appreciate your prayers concerning the funerals, and also just want to thank you for your prayers concerning the missions conference that I preached this past weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina, at Every Nation Baptist Church. Those people were just a true joy to be with, and it was the pastor is my brother-in-law, John Ike DeFlesh, and he's doing a great job. It's an inner-city work. It's a very different work in the sense of the different people groups and nationalities, ethnic groups coming in, immigrants and whatnot. It's all involved there in so many ways. And so I'm thankful for Brother John. He's been pastoring there about 10 years. And so we preached their missions conference, and it was a joy being with them. Thank you for your prayers. But as I say always, I'm glad to be back home. You folks are my family, and always miss you when I'm gone. I was praying for you, thankful for Brother Stevens, John Stevens, and the good job he did. You guys took care of him, and appreciate Brother Arthur preaching Sunday night. And just again, rejoice in that. Just do want to give you a testimony real quick before we dive into the message. Another praise today for Good News Club. I had, I believe, 86 students there. And as far as we know, there was at least one profession of faith. Young man, second grader, who came forward last week asking questions about salvation and what the Bible has to say, but didn't make a decision. And so we encouraged him we'll talk again next week. And praise the Lord, this week he came forward again and said, "I'm ready." And so, hey, praise God. What a wonderful. And I also heard, I wasn't there because I was doing the funeral, but I also heard that it was a battle today. And but you know, I told the group tonight, we had supper here tonight, the Good News Club volunteers and families, but it was anytime you see spiritual battle raging, mark it down, Christian, God is getting ready to give a breakthrough. It's an indication that God is working, and Satan's going to do everything he can to rob that seed, to hinder and hurt. But Christian, that's where we walk forward by faith, and we trust the Lord. And that's what happened. God got the victory. Satan lost, and we're grateful. So tonight we're looking at Psalm 39, verse number 4. And I'm just going to talk about a subject that's kind of fresh on my heart. Let's just say that. And you'll understand why. But notice what the Bible says in Psalm 39, verse 4. "Lord, make me to know mine end." What a prayer that is. Think about the very fact what he's praying there. "Lord, make me to know mine end." Was he saying, "Show me the day I'm going to die"? I don't believe he was, but I believe he was saying this. "Lord, help me to be ready." He's saying, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." I believe the psalmist was here simply requesting and asking God to help him understand the brevity of life. And that's the title of tonight's message. The brevity of life. It is most definitely fragile, it is brief, and it is precious. And I want to talk about tonight how we can value the life that God has given us and also to use it for His glory. You know, after doing funerals 2 days in a row, it's just, again, fresh on my heart and mind thinking about the lives that just passed on just recently. They went on to glory. They both had testimonies of knowing Christ and had testimonies of serving the Lord, Ms. Beverly Slagle and then Ms. Jean Dalton. And I was just sharing with the folks at the funeral today there at Evans Funeral Home. Ms. Jean Dalton came to this church. Her family grew up in this area, but she came in 1961. And she was 16 years old, was married just shortly after that to Jeff Dalton. And Jeff Dalton got saved here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. God transformed his life. And he got a burden, get this, church. Jeff Dalton got a burden for the kids in this community in Jefferson and Athens. And burdened his heart to run the buses. And Bill Carpenter was the pastor at the time and had a vision for it. And so along with the vision, he had some laborers that also had that vision. And they took buses between he and Richard Stringer, Ms. Inez Stringer, then Jeff Dalton and his wife Jean Dalton, who I did the funeral for today, Jean Dalton. But anyway, they would go and just pick up literally hundreds of kids. Over 100 kids each week would bus them in from Jefferson and parts of Athens here to hear the gospel. And many of them trusted Christ. And many of them, I will find out in the community, the past 5 years I've been here, I've been out there and I've run into people countless times. And they would say, I know Crooked Creek Baptist Church. I used to, and these are people in their 40s. And they would say, I used to ride the bus when I was a little kid. That's when I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And there is still fruit remaining and abounding through their efforts. And so, again, just a blessing to see their testimonies and hearing how God used them here in this church. And this is just on my heart, church. We want to understand the brevity of life because we want to make the most of it, don't we? We really do. And the psalmist knew that. He wanted God to help him understand it and to live with that vision and that reality that my life is fragile and it's short and it's also valuable and precious and I need to use it while I have it. We understand James 4:14. It says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, he says, for what is your life? It is even a what, church? A vapor. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It goes away just like that. It's brief. Psalm 90 verse 12, we hear this prayer being uttered. It says, so teach us to number our days. Why? Why number your days? In fear? No. Teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And so we want to do just that. We want to follow the word of God and apply our hearts unto wisdom. Tomorrow will be 13 years that my dad, Brent Jennings, at the age of 58, crossed an intersection in broad daylight, February 10th, 2009, and was broadsided by an 18-wheeler and went to be with the Lord right there on the scene. And, you know, it was devastating to us at the time because it was such a shock. But, you know, Dad, to God be the glory, had the 2 years previous had surrendered his life to Christ. He'd been saved, earlier on in his life and when he was in his upper 30s, earlier 40s, but just was not walking with the Lord. But just in the past, the 2 years of his life, he had really surrendered. He was encouraging us. He was so happy for us going into the ministry and just really, God was doing a work in his life. He went through a discipleship course, but Dad had no idea that day. At 10 a.m., we don't know what happened. He may have had a stroke. He may have had a heart attack. Maybe he might have just been daydreaming and just totally missed it, totally missed the light. But Dad went to glory.
and it'll be 13 years tomorrow. But it reminds me, church, and it should remind us tonight, that the life God has given us today is so precious. It's so valuable, but it's so fragile. And we can't play around with this. We got to say, God, this is real. And I want to be committed to the time and the days that you have given me, and honor you with it. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. What does he mean by that? Boast not thyself. And it means like, don't brag about tomorrow, but more specifically, it talks about don't act as if you own tomorrow, is really what that's saying. Because a lot of us will act like we own tomorrow, like it's ours, it's there. But God says, don't treat it like it's owned. All right? You says, boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So the Bible has so much other exhortations and commandments about the shortness of life. It talks about being a flower that fadeth away. It's like a shadow that appears for a moment. There are other analogies that are given throughout the Word of God. But you see, tomorrow, some have defined tomorrow as an unknown birth. Your tomorrow could be an eternity. And we want to realize how important today is, for God has given us. And the goal of life, may I remind you, is not to arrive at death safely. It is to live out our full potential daily for the glory of God. It is not to arrive at death safely. It is to live out each day for our full potential God. And that's living by faith. That's living by obedience. That's living by forgiving. That's living by being compassionate and actively following the will of God. We are to live as not to be surprised by the call. If your call came today or tomorrow, it shouldn't necessarily surprise us. In other words, what I believe that comes down to translating into is that we just simply need to be ready daily. I'm thankful as I preached these two funerals the past 2 days. I'm thankful that these two people knew the Lord, and I explained to them, as to the people that were there that I was seeking to be a comfort to through the Word of God, is that for the Christian, we don't fear death. We're not afraid to die. Now, we're not looking for a death wish. We're not going out trying to be killed. We're simply wanting to live as long as God wants us to. But the fact of the matter is, we should all be so secure and ready to go that today, Lord, if it's the day you're calling me home, Lord, just help me to be ready as your child, living for you. And the same can be applied for expecting the rapture, the Lord coming. We don't want to be embarrassed or ashamed at his coming, but there's a spirit of readiness. I like what Charles H. Spurgeon said. He said, here's the history of the grass. Sown, grown, blown, mown, gone. And the history of man is not much more. Our time here on earth is not recoverable. Neither is it guaranteed. But one thing we do know that time is, according to the Word of God, and this is quite a fascinating truth, that time is redeemable. Would you go with me over to the book of Ephesians in your New Testament? Would you go over there and look with me in Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5, we're not going to go into all the exhortations here because they are all connected, but just for the sake of the subject tonight being on time and today and understanding we are living for eternity, notice with me verse 16. I would encourage everyone to have this verse memorized. It's a short one, but it is a packed and powerful one.
It simply says this. Let's read it together. Ephesians 5:16. Would you say it with me? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. All right, so let's look first of all at this idea of redeeming the time. The word redeem here is carries the idea of buying back, if you will, to making an advantageous purchase. It also gives the idea of someone that maybe is an astute businessman who seizes the opportunity when he sees an investment. It's just to make a purchase at that time that is profitable and is going to produce a lot of fruit and going to be a true blessing. And that's the idea that it's carrying there, that idea of redeeming. But the word time there is also interesting. And you say, why is that interesting? Because there's two Greek words for time. One speaks of like the time on your watch, the hour to hour, day to day. But that would be more generally speaking time. But what this context is of this Greek word would be more the time. A specific time frame. In other words, I may say something like this. Do you remember the time when we or when they, I'm talking about a specific reference to a specific slot of time. Well, that's exactly what this word time is. And what God is saying, He is saying at this time, make profit. Seize the opportunity of the time that I have given you. And He's saying specifically, this time is your life. It's your life. It's my life. I don't know how long it's going to be. God does. And I'm thankful for it. It's precious. It's valuable. It's been bought by the blood of Christ. And I want it to count for Christ. And you say, well, you're fired up about this. Listen, you do two funerals in 2 days. And you too will be reminded that we need to make our lives count for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a definite season of opportunity that Christians must redeem. Now, as one author stated, he said, Paul isn't telling us to make the most of every moment, although that's a good thing. He tells us to seize opportunity for the glory of Jesus. And he's saying it isn't to make the most of time, but to make the most of the time that you have right now. I'm speaking to many age groups out here right now. I'm speaking everywhere up from 20s, I believe, to 90s. And even some teens, perhaps, up to 90s. But you please understand, that verse is applicable to your life right now. Your time right now is what God is saying. Redeem it. Seize that opportunity. Find out what God wants you to do and using it for His glory. Do not think for a moment that God is through with you. No, my friends, He wants us to make the very best of what we have right now. One quote I read, I thought it was, pretty eye-opening. And when you think about it, that time, maybe you've heard this before, time is a strange commodity. You can't save it, borrow it, loan it, leave it, or take it. You can only do two things with it. Use it or lose it. And we want to use it, not for selfish ambitions and for worldly pleasure of just satisfying ourselves. We want to use it for that which is the will of God, because He even tells us there, and if you look, I'm not going to go into it, but He even says in verse 17 of chapter 5, He goes on to say, Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's how you're going to redeem your time. It's being a person who is cognizant of the will of God daily
We know what the general will of God is to be right with Him, but then He's going to lead us in specific areas of the will of God, and is precious. So, we know the days are evil. We're surrounded by it. You watch the news for a few moments, I tell you what, you will see very quickly. I think Brother Stevens even mentioned that in his message. It can be depressing. And not only that, but social media. I've been on a social media fast since January 1st, and I just want to tell you how refreshing it's been, for the exception of looking at our church Facebook, if there was a comment, somebody tried to contact us or something like that. But I have just, my spirit has just been better, and I'm not saying that all you should do that. I'm just speaking from I don't feel as my spirit doesn't feel as heavy. Because I don't feel like I'm keeping up with you know, because I know people do put good news on social media, but a lot of times it's not good news. It's depressing. And it's not helping me redeem the time and seize the opportunity. And I'm going to be the first one to admit, so don't get critical at me, please, that social media can definitely be used to redeem the time. And you understand where I'm coming from on that. But the fact of the matter is, we know the days are evil. And we want to make the best difference and impact we can. So can I get a little feedback from you tonight? You guys look like you're awake. I've seen some smiles and some nods. Why don't you give me a little bit of feedback tonight? Make sure you try to make your answers a little loud so we can all hear it. But just, there are no right answers here. This is just some of your thoughts that you have. What are some ways that we can redeem the time of our lives that God has given us? Somebody start us off. What can we do? Reach out and do something for somebody else. Good. Someone else. Be intentional about what we do. Someone else. Yes. Amen. Scheduling, being purposeful, intentional. Someone else. Yes. Good. Trying to avoid being around toxic individuals that are going to lead you in the wrong direction or drain you in some way. And hey, listen, your kids don't count in that, okay? Someone else. Yes, Brother Christian. Amen. Speaking encouraging words to someone. Good. These are good. Someone else. Someone else. Yes, Donna? Pray with someone. Yes. I would say prayer in general would be redeeming the time, wouldn't it? Seizing the opportunity. Hey, praying time is never wasted time. Prayer changes things. It absolutely will. What else? Brother Dan?
Being a good listener.
Very good. Good listener. Just trying to understand what the needs of others are. Very good. Someone else. Yes, Mike. Amen. Reading books that help you grow. Spiritual devotionals. Doesn't necessarily have to be. Can just be learning history. Can be educate. Whatever. Just something that is helping you to grow as an individual. Excellent. Someone else. Redeeming the time, Brother Christian. Oh, yes. I love this quote here. It's not original with me. You never can share the gospel with the wrong person. You never can. It's redeeming the time. It's going to be profitable. Now, you can't share with the wrong person. It may not be the right time. But as far as the person goes, you can always guarantee God wants that person to hear the gospel. And that is most definitely redeeming the time, because sometimes those people fly by us and we don't get the opportunity. And so we want to redeem. Someone else. I saw someone else's hand earlier. I thought I did. Yes, Tanya? Precious. Taking time to play with the kids. You know, I feel bad.
I'm just going to be transparent. I guess this is confession time too. Amen. But my kids got a Christmas present and just put it up last week. But no, they had a zip line and we've been talking about putting that thing up. But finally, we got it put up. And some of you are thinking, did you get on it? Absolutely not. I don't think it has my weight capacity. But just taking time to do things with the kids, absolutely, that is redeeming the time. I tell you, the prayer conference, the men can tell you God really spoke to us. There was a message out of the book of Job when the preacher really hit the dads and the granddads about just taking the time to invest in your children prayerfully. And we were all at the altar just weeping, and just God just really dealt with us about how take that time to pray over your children and invest in them. And because the devil's after them, redeeming the time for the days are evil. And there's a world out there that wants to destroy your kids. Yeah, what else? These are good. Man, these are really good. Anybody else? Brother Wes? Amen. Amen. Redeeming the time, being humble and counting the blessings. That is a great... Well, I tell you, if you're having a bad day, just start counting the blessings. And, you know, we could go on tonight. So many more. I know you could. We could name them off until midnight. Easily. And we can redeem the time. But here's the thing we got to do, church. We got to do it. We got to redeem the time. I don't know how much time you have left. I don't know how much time I have left. But I simply want to have a spirit of readiness that, Lord, if it's today, I want to go out strong. I don't want to go out defeated. I don't want to go out in that way. I know I won't go out perfect because I'm an imperfect man that serves a perfect God. But I do know that I'm striving to grow, and I hope that is your goal, to grow in grace and just to have a spirit of readiness. I'm going to give a closing quote here. A pioneer missionary by the name of Robert Moffat said this: "We shall have all eternity which to celebrate our victories, but only one short hour before the sunset in which to win them." Did you get that? We're going to have all eternity to celebrate our victories. But we got one short hour called life, called time, to win them for the glory of God. And so my challenge to you tonight and to my own heart, when it comes to the brevity of life, I believe we ought to pray what that psalmist prayed when he said, "Lord, make me to know mine end." When he said, "And the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am." And that he would teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We don't have any time, and it wasn't mentioned, but I'm going to mention this one because it hits home with all of us. We don't have any time to be unforgiving. One way to redeem the time is to be a forgiving person. God will bless us for that. Would you pray with me?